Welcome to The Baseball Show, Chicago's only interactive nightly show focused on the Cubs, the White Sox, and Major League Baseball. On radio, on app, on podcast. Listen to the show your way on ESPN 1000 or the new ESPN Chicago app. The Baseball Show, presented by Goose Island Beer Company, on Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Welcome in to the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. I'm Chris Bleck along with Adam Abdallah. If you want to watch the show, you can on Twitch, ESPN 1000 Chicago. You can also talk baseball with us for the next hour right here on ESPN 1000. The phone number is 312-332-3776. As we take a look at what we have going on in town right now, in the third inning, the Cubs lead the Cardinals 2-0. Caratini in the top of the second with a single to center that scored Schwarber and Contreras. The Cubs lead 2-0 on the Cardinals right now in the second game of a doubleheader, which the Cubs lost the first game earlier today. The Cardinals win 9-3. Over the Cubs earlier today in the first game of the doubleheader. Alec Mills was terrible in the first game.
Well, yeah, Alec Mills was terrible, but how about the offense? Just two hits in the entire game. They score three runs. They score they off of a home run in the first inning and a home run in the bottom of the seventh inning, and that was it. And then in between that, you had 20 outs of just nothing. So to me, it's, you know, yeah, Alec Mills wasn't good and gave up a bunch of runs, but also at the same time, where's this offense been? You know, right now, you look at today, they're only in the third inning. In the middle of the third inning, the Cubs are actually the road team in this game, so they've already batted three times in the middle of the third inning. And all they have are two hits. Caratini singled and scored Schwarber and Contreras, and that's it. So you've played, you know, 10 innings right now, and you have five hits on the day.
Yeah, and so here in the second game today at Wrigley Field for the Chicago Cubs, obviously the 2-0 lead, good at this point, because what we saw in the first game, in the first inning, Carpenter with the grand slam off Mills early, and then Happ gives you the home run, the leadoff home run. Ian Happ has been fantastic as of late for the Chicago Cubs. You mentioned Abdallah basically then going no hit all the way till the seventh, because they're playing to the seventh inning in these doubleheaders to make up games. Not a good offensive performance from the Chicago Cubs in this second game here in the doubleheader. Obviously off to a better start, and we will see what takes place with Albert Azelay on the mound for the Cubs tonight. And we'll see kind of how this goes, as a bit of a tough weekend with the Brewers. The Cardinals come to town. They've dropped a couple of games. And now it kind of gets back to the same conversation we've been having here on the Baseball Show. Are the Cubs as good as the record shows? Or were they just beating the competition that they had to in front of them? Some of the teams beating up on bad teams that they've faced to this point, now facing some more challenging opponents in the Brewers and the Cardinals, and things are starting to even out for them.
Well, yeah, and then you look at, you know, what's coming up next for the Cubs is you've got the day off tomorrow, and then after that, the White Sox go to Wrigley, and the White Sox have been pounding the ball right now. So that's not a team, when your pitching is struggling the way it is, when your offense is struggling the way it is, that's not a team you want to face right now. That a team that's pitching well, but also they're just mashing the ball like you wouldn't believe.
So we'll keep our eyes on the Cubs and the Cardinals. Bottom three at Wrigley, 2-0 Cubs with the lead. But as Abdallah alluded to, the White Sox, and that gets to our first pitch tonight.
The first pitch.
Play ball.
Throwing out the first pitch, and I have to say, this was rather impressive.
On the Baseball Show.
Right. There's your first pitch, and then some.
On ESPN 1000.
Well, last night for the Chicago White Sox, Tim Anderson was awesome, and the Sox win the game yesterday 10-4. And what we've been talking about is this is a week for the White Sox to make some noise. Put some space in between them and the mediocre teams in the AL Central, and make sure that you're a playoff team after this week, right? You get the Tigers, beat up on the Tigers, which they did last night in the last couple of outings, and then you face the Cubs at the end of the week. Cubs and White Sox, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You have an opportunity here to play some good baseball tonight for the White Sox. 7-10 start at guaranteed rate. Casey Mize makes his major league debut for the Tigers, and Dane Dunning makes his major league debut for the Chicago White Sox, who are 13 and 11 heading into this matchup.
Yeah, and like you mentioned, a big week. This is probably the biggest stretch of games, but not only just this week, because you have two more games against the Tigers. You have tonight, and then tomorrow is a day game. Then you face the Cubs for three. But then more teams you should beat. You should take, you know, you should beat the Pirates twice. You should beat Kansas City two out of three times. The Twins are going to be tough, but then it's right back again. Kansas City for four, Pittsburgh for two, and then Detroit for three. This is a team that has continued to hit. Ever since they lost two games in the doubleheader, they got swept out of the doubleheader by the Cardinals. After that, seven runs, and then 10 runs yesterday against the Tigers. And again tonight, you've got two pitchers making their debut. You don't really know what to expect, how long these guys are each going to be going, how much of the bullpen is going to be used for the Tigers. But if you can jump on a guy who's making his debut early, you can shake him up early and get him out of that game early as well. You can capitalize again and win another ball game.
You know, you question, if you're a Sox fan, you look at why has this team played well as of late? Obviously, the bats have been able to help you out there. But how about this stat? Starting pitching for the Chicago White Sox, they own a 2.85 ERA over the last 19 games. The first five games of the season, they had a 12.64 ERA. So over the course of the last few weeks here, the rotation for the Sox is starting to correct itself. And they've even had the deal with injury, but Keuchel, Giolito, and how about Dylan Cease yesterday? Once again, putting together consistent starts for the White Sox, and he's really starting to give me encouragement that this team, if they make the playoffs, have enough starting pitching to at least be competitive. It was worrisome at the start of the season that maybe it was just going to be Giolito and Keuchel, but if you can add Dylan Cease and what we saw him do yesterday, this White Sox lineup may have a chance. This rotation may give the lineup a chance to excel in the playoffs.
Yeah, 6 1/3, two earned runs, three strikeouts, five hits. And you're right, he's put together a decent, you know, few games here. You know, the last game, he went six innings, gave up one earned run. The game before that, no earned runs. The game before that, two earned runs. Really only his bad start was to open the season on the 28th, back on the 28th of July, that loss to the Indians. But other than that, after going only 2 1/3 innings after that, he's had consistent quality starts, you know, that five-inning one against the Indians, but they ended up winning the game 2-0. So it was a tight game. The bullpen came through in that game as well. He's put together, and yeah, you're right, he can be a quality third guy for you to go to in the bullpen or in the rotation. And if you've got three guys, yeah, you can compete. Now, the hitting needs to keep up. The bullpen is going to be there for the White Sox, but you always question, are they anything past Giolito and Keuchel? And if Cease can be dependable, you're right, they can do something in the playoffs. They can maybe win a first-round match for the playoffs.
Well, it was a conversation we were having on Monday night on the show, because Gio Gonzalez was on the mound for the White Sox, and he went out and gave you a nice performance, right? And that's kind of all you're asking from Gio Gonzalez. And if Dylan Cease can turn into a solid number three for this rotation, and that's kind of how he's pitching at the moment, to me, I'm thrilled as a Sox fan. And I think that's what you have to look at here, because who knows what we get from Dane Dunning making his major league debut tonight on the South side. But okay, we have Giolito, gotta figure it out. A little rocky at times, but he's been decent. Dallas Keuchel has been fantastic. And Dylan Cease, really allowing you to get to the point where if Gio Gonzalez is not having a great outing, it's okay. And then whatever we get from Dunning to kind of figure out and to figure this rotation, this five-man unit going forward throughout this season, this short season, which by the time we get to Monday of next week, we'll be halfway through. So this Cubs-Sox series is going to be huge this weekend, because it's going to enter us into the halfway point of this 60-game season. I'm feeling great about the rotation at this moment. We know the bullpen's good for the Southsiders, and we know that this lineup's going to hit. At the moment, the lineup overall, they're fifth in baseball in home runs. We've seen that. We've seen them excel in OPS. They're ninth in average. They're eighth in runs scored. They're 13th above average offense from the Chicago White Sox. Now they just need the starting rotation to go with it. We know the bullpen's good, but this team can make the playoffs. They are playing like it right now, And I have positive vibes for this team heading into the second half of this season.
How about this weekend? You've got on Friday, you've got Dallas Keuchel against John Lester, Gio Gonzalez against Kyle Hendricks. I mean, those are two games that really puts the test of these two teams together, where you've got, you know, your grizzled veteran in Big John Lester against Dallas Keuchel, and then you've got Gio Gonzalez against Kyle Hendricks, who, you know, has had some ups and downs this season, as has Gio Gonzalez, two guys that are still trying to figure it out right now. And Kyle Hendricks' last game was in one of the doubleheaders, and he pitched well, but the offense just wasn't there for him once again.
So that's the latest on the White Sox. That's our first pitch tonight here on the Baseball Show. Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah with you every night at 6 o'clock right here on ESPN 1000, talking baseball. If you want to join the conversation, you can call us at 312-332-3776. Coming up next, I want to talk to you about this. Did you see again last night Fernando Tatis Jr.? With a big lead, the Padres were up big, and he is stealing third base against the pitcher who threw at his teammate the night before because of the grand slam that he hit when the Padres were up the night before that everyone was all upset about. This guy is awesome. The unwritten rules of baseball and Fernando Tatis Jr. Is it time for that to all change? Is it a breath of fresh air to the sport of baseball? I think it is. It's Chris Bleck, Adam Abdallah. We'll talk about it next.
This is the Baseball Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Tonight's Baseball Show is brought to you by Lassen's Tap in Homewood. Stop in and grab a couple of Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. Lassen's Tap in Homewood is a proud White Sox official bar, and it is an excellent place to catch a White Sox game.
Socks and so much more.
This is the Baseball Show,
presented by Goose Island Beer Company
on ESPN 1000
and the ESPN Chicago app.
Fernando Tatis Jr. is off to one of the great starts to a baseball season that we've seen from a young player. But he is ruffling feathers. Old-timey feathers, but feathers are being ruffled.
Isn't that implied when you say ruffling feathers? Doesn't the statement ruffling feathers mean you're angering olds?
No, not necessarily.
If you ruffle feathers, I assume that you are angering, like Tyler producing the show is 16 years old right now.
Are you saying no feathers?
No. I'm just saying if I were to do something to make Tyler mad.
He's not 16.
Okay, he's 23. Whatever. You know what I mean. Go along with the bit.
But people think he's really like underaged working.
He's got a worker's permit. His parents had to sign it.
Got my license last week.
Nice. Yep. How's that going for you?
It's a little choppy on the roads, but.
So if I said that I was angering
Tyler. How's your parallel parking?
Needs work.
He's got one of those cars that does it for him.
You would.
If I said that I was angering Tyler in any way, I would not say that I was ruffling his feathers.
What would you say?
I would say that I am angering Tyler.
No. Younger people are triggered. Older people,
yeah, younger people aren't triggered. Younger people are making fun of older people when they say triggered.
That's true. That's very true.
Like I haven't heard anyone on the station say that they're triggered yet, but I'm sure if and when that happens, if someone says like, hey, I'm triggered or someone's triggered, I'm guessing it would come from an older individual.
Cap'n Jay Hood every day at 7 a.m.
That's
I just
a good
got
plug.
The promo in. I just wanted to get the promo in.
Right, exactly.
Just wanted to get the promo in. But so, I think that when you say ruffle feathers, you're implying that you're angering the baseball olds.
Well, no, and this is what Fernando Tatis Jr. is doing to this point in the season. Through 25 games, he has 11 home runs. He's scored 23 runs. He's had 28 RBI. He has 6 steals. His slash line is .310, .384, .710. His weighted runs created plus is 187. He also plays the game with flair. He has fun. And he's a part of a team that's young and up and coming. And he is exactly what you want in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He's exactly what you would want.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, some people and those in the game, managers in the game, suggests that him hustling, playing baseball, and continuing to play throughout the duration of the game, no matter what the score is bad for the game because he is ruffling their feathers of the unwritten rules of baseball.
Well, tough. Tough. Deal with it. Sorry, you're old, and you're slowly being pushed out of this game, and managers are getting younger. You think if Tatis was on the Cubs, let's just say, for instance, I'm not going to do that if he wasn't traded by the White Sox. Let's just say he's on the Cubs.
Okay.
You think David Ross is going after him at the end of the game?
No.
And saying you can't don't swing on a 3-0 pitch?
No.
Do you think he's not at least if he said something to him afterwards, being like, hey man, we gave you the take sign. When we give you the take sign, take the pitch, right? Do you think afterwards he's throwing him under the bus? He's throwing his player under the bus? Absolutely not.
No, I don't think so. David Ross, though, I think is the type of manager, because we saw with Javi Baez last week when he had a gaffe at the dish where he didn't run.
Yeah.
David Ross didn't really do any.
Because these are adults. They don't need to do anything. They don't need a talking to.
Well,
and I don't think Tatis needs a talking to either.
Of course not. You know why? Because he was playing a game. He was competing. You know what's the stupidest thing in baseball?
Not competing.
When people get upset that you're competing, guess what? You suck. This is why.
Nope.
He had a grand slam. You know why? Ranger pitcher, who I'm not going to learn your name.
Suck.
Because you're terrible.
Listen.
You're awful.
You know why?
Because you stink.
That's why.
Because he is much better than you. I'm sorry that ruffles your manager's feathers because he's not playing the right way. You know how you play the right way? Get him out.
Do you want to know how you get Tatis to not swing at a 3-0 pitch? You do that. You wave your white flag and you put in your positional player to pitch. That's when you know it's over. That's when you're not trying. But this dude's throwing sliders and trying to get a dude out. And listen, you can't find the strike zone. I'm going to hit. You're still trying to throw sliders. You're still trying to get me out. I've seen leads evaporate. The game's not over till it's over. Last I checked.
I agree with you. So this has brought Tatis Jr. into the forefront. And I think it's kind of helped his notoriety in baseball. Because guys like us, hosting the baseball show here on ESPN 1000,
mm-hmm.
younger baseball fans,
mm-hmm.
we look at it and we say, we like that. We want more of that. Let's get some of that in baseball. And thus I ask you this, because I was listening to Cap and Jay Hood earlier today, and Danny Zetterman during Shot or No Shot asked them the question about the face of baseball. And I think it was an interesting conversation because there is room for someone like Fernando Tatis Jr. to take the mantle, the championship belt of being the face of baseball, because I don't think baseball has a face right now. A lot of people want to point to Mike Trout.
Mike Trout's not the face of baseball.
That is a terrible face for baseball, and just because nobody knows anything about him.
I believe Cap gave the reasoning.
What do we know about Trout? We know that he is like the greatest player of this generation, if not one of the greatest players ever, and we know nothing about him.
He likes Subway.
Okay, he was on a Subway ad campaign, and all we know is that he has a buzz cut hairdo.
Well,
right? That's all we know.
I believe Cap made the argument that he can't be because he's on the West Coast and no one sees his games. But last I checked, San Diego is on the West Coast.
Yeah, and I've watched many Padres games. I've watched many Angels games start of the season. And I think outside of the Sox and the Cubs, I've seen, if there's one team I've watched the most of to this point in the year, it's the Oakland Athletics, who are one of the best teams in baseball. And, you know, so like, that has nothing to do with that. They're on the West Coast. I'm watching them on FS1, on mm-hmm. ESPN1, on normal ESPN, ESPN2. I'm watching them on the MLB Network. There is Fox has, there is the consumption of West Coast
of
baseball
course.
Players if you want to go find it.
Of course. I think that Fernando Tatis can be the face of baseball. He can be. I think that I'm not saying that he needs to keep doing it for longer or whatever, but he hasn't done enough yet. I still think it's guys like Aaron, and I don't think there is a singular face. I think it's a culmination of guys like, or combination, I mean, of guys like Aaron Judge, guys like Mookie Betts, guys like that. Some of these pitchers coming in too. Like some of these pitchers, like I'm not saying Yu Darvish is a face of baseball, but some of these better pitchers that we've seen for a while that get the exposure. Like when you get a big game on Fox, right? When you get like like this game against for the Cubs and White Sox on Friday. I don't think it's on national TV, but if you were to broadcast John Lester and Dallas Keuchel, those are two big names. Are they the face of baseball? No, but those are the games you promote. I always consider the faces of the sport the ones where it's like, to compare it to football, if it's like Aaron Rodgers and the Packers versus Khalil Mack and the Bears.
Right.
You know, it's like it's whoever name that they say before the team name or the picture that they're showing during the commercial of the guys.
I'm always going to lean towards the concept that with baseball, the pitcher is so difficult to be the face of the sport.
Because you don't see him every day.
Well, if you're buying a ticket, I get it, in normal times, you're not guaranteed to see that player perform. And I get it. There are players in the lineup who don't play every day.
Mm-hmm.
But a pitcher is so much more difficult. Like, for a pitcher to be a face of baseball, you have to be Hall of Fame level. And you have to have some kind of, not necessarily gimmick, but there has to be some style to what you do. Like Pedro Martinez. Pedro was a Hall of Famer, and we knew it at the time.
Jerry Curl.
But he was also doing it in a way that had swag.
Mm-hmm.
And like they would
before
also
swag was a
thing
in
they would also
really.
Show like on all the broadcasts how his fingers, you know, that like how his two lead in his index finger and his ring finger or his middle finger would be able to bend like all like freakishly up. Like he had this appeal where it was like, we know we're seeing someone pitch who's like a once-in-a-generation type of guy. Like, I don't even think Verlander gives you that pop.
No.
Like, we know Verlander's a Hall of
Verlander,
Famer.
Verlander, one of these old-school guys, too. I think these guys are being phased out. These old-school guys aren't going to be the face of baseball because they don't embrace new baseball.
Max Scherzer, he'll be a Hall of Famer, but like, where's the pop? Where's the pizzazz there? So let's ask this question. 312-332-3776. If we give you a list of names, who is the face of baseball? Is it Mike Trout? Is it Fernando Tatis Jr.? Is it Bryce Harper, who's having a fantastic year for the Phillies? Is it Aaron Judge? Is it Aaron Judge because not only is he an imposing force at the dish, he's also one of the best. He's on one of the best teams in baseball, which probably helps as well. Who is it if you had to narrow down the list?
I automatically go to, like, if I'm looking at this and I'm like, all right, I want to see some dudes, right? So I go to the ESPN MLB stat page, right? And I immediately go to home runs.
Yep.
Because people love dingers. What did I say yesterday? Hit dingers and crush beers.
Sure.
So right now, obviously, we know the leader is Fernando Tatis Jr. Then it's Mike Trout, Mookie Betts, and Aaron Judge. I think that those are four guys that you could point to are right now the faces of baseball. Like if there were to be an all-star game at the midway point, on Monday when we get the 30 games, and it's the midway point, those four guys would be in the commercial. Like, those four guys would be whatever cool graphics they want to put behind them or whatever. Those four guys would be it'd be Tatis, and then, like, Trout would be running and doing something, and then, like, Judge would be, like, towering over skyscrapers as they, like, you know, because they all have to ascend on a place. Like, those are always, like, the Fox promos for the All-Star game, where they're all, like, coming from their given cities.
Yes.
And so Aaron Judge would be, like the big guy, and then, like, Mookie Betts would be, you know, flying in from L.A. or however he wants to get there. But my point is, those four guys would be the featured players, and then you'd throw in a Cub, so you'd probably
are you just throwing in a Cub?
No, because
you're just assuming you get a Cub. Player is on that level?
I'm saying that
there's no player on the Cubs
not right
that's
now.
On the level
no,
of
but
the
if I'm making an
Trout,
all-star
Harper,
game
Tatis,
if I'm
Judge,
making an
Betts,
all-star game promo, I gotta put a Chicago market in there, so maybe I'm putting
Ian
Tim
Happ?
Anderson nope Tim
Ian
Anderson
Happ? All right Tim Anderson. Anderson I mean Anderson's giving you production and right now, Ian Happ's, let's see, his weighted runs created plus from Fangraphs. He's ninth in baseball.
Fernando Tatis Jr., Mike Trout, Mookie Betts,
and Ian Happ.
Ian Happ.
Well, it's not Chris Bryant.
Hey, guys. It's not
Javi Baez.
It was Javi Baez. It used to be Javi Baez.
You would like it to be Javi Baez.
I would still like it to be Javi Baez.
It's not Javi Baez.
Not right now. Not the way he's performing.
So those are the five. Are those the five names then? Trout, Harper, Tatis, Judge and Betts?
No, Ian Happ.
No, Ian Happ's no. Get out of here, Happ.
But he's performing.
Yeah, he is right now. Let's get a larger sample size, please. Can we have a larger sample size? 312-332-3776. I keep rubbing my hand because there's definitely something sticky over here on the desk.
It's probably sanitizer. Like, there's so much sanitizer on
this. I don't know. There's something over here. on the desk. Coming up, sorry if I yelled also in that segment. I just want to apologize to you guys. The unwritten rules of baseball just really
Twitch.tv/ESPN1000
just really annoy me.
Chicago, you're pretty hyped.
Well, it's just so frustrating. Like, all the old-time baseball guy does is complain about how not enough people pay attention to their sport. Mm-hmm. The moment you pay attention to their sport and you have fun, they get all bent out of shape.
Dude.
It is so frustrating.
Hit
so
dingers,
that's why I had to get upset there. I want to ask dingers, you about people watching beers. Baseball. We talked about it last night. We had a lot of good callers on this topic.
Yeah.
I think the conversation should continue. Why are baseball ratings up? Is it because of the 60-game schedule? Is it because of what has gone on with the sport and them being able to limit the doubleheader games to 7 innings? Why are you interested in baseball this season? We'll talk about it next.
The Baseball Show with Bleck and Abdallah.
On Chicago's home for sports.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Tonight's baseball show is brought to you by Lassen's Tap and Homewood. Stop in and grab a couple of Goose Island White Sox Gold Nails tonight. Lassen's Tap in Homewood is a proud official White Sox bar and is an excellent place to watch a Sox game.
Four balls, three strikes, a double play, and one. Place to hear the baseball show with Bleck and Abdallah. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
The Baseball Show.
Presented by Goose Island Beer Company.
So we saw this story yesterday. The headline is Major League Baseball attracting younger TV viewers this season per front office sports. ESPN's up 69% with 18 to 34-year-old men in Major League Baseball viewers, 83% among women from 18 to 34 years old. So they kind of look at all of baseball and the numbers for baseball across the board on all of the networks is up in this season. The article talks about performances in large markets from teams like the New York Yankees, Los Angeles Dodgers, Chicago Cubs, and also ESPN posting strong early numbers in the season. Opening day and opening night baseball, Sunday night baseball, Monday night baseball, and Wednesday night baseball on ESPN averaging 1.2 million viewers, which is up 29% from last season in Major League Baseball. So the important numbers here, Abdallah, ESPN is up 69%, 18 to 34, 83% women, 18 to 34, 57% adults, 18 to 49. So across all of the demographics, TV viewing of baseball is up. And I think a lot of this has to do with 60 games and every game meaning so much, giving people a reason, incentive to tune in each and every night.
Yeah, I think that it does have a lot to do with the urgency of the season, the urgency of each game, how every game matters. Every game is worth whatever, 3 point, whatever, some odd games. So when you lose a game or when you go on a 3-game losing streak, it's almost like going on a 9-game losing streak. I do think it has a little bit to do with people being starved for sports, but that doesn't explain why the NBA ratings have been down. Maybe it's because the NBA was kind of more of like a seeding tournament, and now that the playoff games have started, maybe those ratings will increase. Now that, you know, you're into the... Because we all kind of knew, like, the Lakers didn't really do anything to be the number one seed. They were going to have the one seed. Like, the only thing people worry about was the 8th seed in the West. Everything else was kind of determined except for a few, like, different seedings. But if you're in the playoffs, you're in the playoffs, right? Whereas now you've got empty stadiums. You know, you've got... Wrigley is empty right now. So those people that aren't at the games might be watching the games. People that would normally be doing other things with their summer, maybe vacationing or, you know, going out to bars or going out to restaurants or not comfortable doing that. So they're staying home more and there's not any new, there's some new programming, but they're usually during the summer, there really isn't any new like programming. You know what I mean? Like the networks usually run out those wacky game shows like Holy Moly and, you know, all those shows that are kind of like celebrity run games and things. But there's
no
like...
You think that's wacky? To me, that's a very serious miniature golf show.
I don't think that people are watching baseball because
Let's go to Will in Virginia. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Will?
I can't.
Hey, what's up, guys? So, yeah, I kind of thought, you know, with baseball, I think what's kind of making it more popular maybe right now amongst, like, my generation, basically, as a 31-year-old, I do think it's the 60 games. Every game kind of counts. The DH is kind of a cool thing now. It's like I'm not even necessarily a fan of all the changes. I don't mind the DH, really, but even I was like, I don't mind the uniqueness of having the pitcher in the NL, the DH in the AL, or, you know, I don't like the extra inning rule, but I get where people like the 2.5 hours. You mentioned it last night, and I do think that's probably why it's doing so well. I do think, too, that I don't know if you guys or someone else mentioned it last night about how it's on TV. People aren't able to go to games, but they're able to at least watch them on TV. So I just feel like those are definitely some of the, why the game's kind of trending upward, I guess, amongst, like, this generation.
Appreciate the phone call, Will. The thing with that is I think baseball may have stumbled into something here.
I think that the urgency is the main reason. I think that fans know I don't have 162 of these where, like, I can maybe not watch, like, 65 of them, 70 of them.
It's background noise, right?
Yeah, exactly. And now it's, oh, no, the Cubs lost, you know, 3 out of 4 to the Cardinals, and now they were up 6 games, and now in the span of 2 days after playing a couple doubleheaders and a single game, they're back, you know, the division is tighter. I think also you've got 2 teams from each division that are going to make the playoffs, which means more teams are still technically in this race than in normal times, you know? You've got this expanded playoff, so you've got, look at the standings that we went through last night, all of these teams and all of the second place teams are also in contention along with a couple wild card teams. So you've got more fans invested than normally, because if you look at we went through the standings yesterday where you would normally have, like, the Cubs right now are in first place. The Cardinals are 3.5 games out. Maybe you've got the Dodgers are in first place, and the Rockies are 4 games out. And the Arizona Diamondbacks are 4.5 games out. The Padres are only 5 games out. You've got 4 out of 5 of those teams are in contention for the playoffs right now, whereas normally you might have Rockies and Diamondbacks and Padres fans who would normally be focused on the wild card spot being like, hey, I got to watch these games because 2 teams make the playoffs this year in this expanded playoffs where we're taking 2 teams from each division.
Top 6, Cubs and Cardinals. It's 2-1 now. Kisner with a sac fly. O'Neill scores for the Cardinals in the bottom of the 5th. Cubs are only up 1. Let's go to Alex in Wheeling. You're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Alex?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, man. What do you got?
Yeah, I just want to say, like, I'm 24 years old. I've stopped watching baseball completely. I used to be a huge fan, but every year having to hear the same discussion that a dude bat flips and that's warranting some guy throwing at him, or all these unwritten rules now that we have to keep following every decade, really got annoying. I think adding on the contract disputes this year kind of pushed me over the edge. Like, I'll watch a playoff game when there is fans because that environment's pretty crazy, but I don't care about 162. I don't really care about any of the players anymore aside for, like, baseball cards reason. And, like, I saw the Cubs win, and that was good for me, and now it's just like, why do I have to keep watching to keep hearing about dudes complaining that some guy flipped him for a home run when, like, he threw a bad pitch? This is, like, grown men acting like babies. There's plenty of other things. Like, I love hockey. I get my fix from there. UFC, Formula One, a bunch of other sports, especially right now. So I don't even see a reason to go back to baseball.
So, Alex, you're not watching at all this season?
No, I mean, I'll tune in for scores maybe on Google to see, but, like, my screen time has gone down by, like, 95% from last year.
That's interesting. Thanks for the call, Alex. We appreciate it. You know, like, and that's the other thing, that baseball, it hurts baseball because there's so much of it that you, like you were saying, 162, you can kind of get around to it at some point. You don't, you know, the urgency of, I have to see it. And someone like Alex, who's young, say, well, I'll find out the scores. You know, like, the other thing that I've always thought with baseball, when they say, why do young people not like it? My response is always like, well, you know, it is the one sport you can theoretically read about and kind of know almost everything about the game, because the box score tells you exactly what takes place. And I know there's the old adage that any day you watch a baseball game, you'll see something for the first time.
Anything can happen.
Is that the voice of someone who also gets their feathers ruffled?
Yes, it was. Yes. I think also what you have to look at, too, is with baseball, this is their perfect situation. And I'm wondering if these numbers drop, like I mentioned, because the NBA playoffs have started and more people go back to baseball or go back to the NBA and go back to the NHL because the playoffs have started for both leagues right now. And because I think that baseball has always done itself a disservice, right? Where you start your season and for like a month, everybody's like, cool, baseball's back. Wait, the NBA playoffs are on and I'm going to watch that now. And then at the end of your season, when you have your playoff games, your end of the season, and then your playoff games are during the NFL season.
Yeah.
Like that shouldn't be happening because you're regardless of your game, regardless of World Series game, whatever it is, you're not going to beat the NFL. You're not going to do it. And trust me, in a year where we've been starved from sports for as long as we were starved from sports before, as soon as the NFL starts, then they're planning to start that right after Labor Day like they normally do. And assuming they start after Labor Day, I bet these numbers go down again because people are going to be watching football. And if there's no college football early, they're going to be watching football on Thursday, on Saturday, on Sunday, and on Monday. So I wonder if these numbers continue to rise up the way that, or to stay steady like this with these high of increases when we get to a football season.
Nate tweets to the show at Chris Bleck and at Adam A. Abdallah, says 100% correct. This proves that we all want a shortened MLB season. 100 games would be awesome. May to August, playoffs in September.
Yeah.
I think that makes a lot of sense.
I think you could do 100 games and do a couple of, you could do a combination of 100 games and do some seven-inning doubleheaders, have your playoffs end before the football season starts, people. How hard? Own the summer. It's the summer. Own it. Like, you could be the only sport that's going on. You could have the NBA playoffs happen, and then once they're done, you could be the only thing people talk about until the NFL starts, and you could have your most important games leading up to football, and you would win all the ratings. Like, you wouldn't have these, well, people will watch this Jets and Dolphins game over a World Series game.
Do we have those conversations?
People, when we compare ratings, you're like, oh, well, the average NFL
always outrates everything.
So don't have your games during NFL games.
I don't think the problem with baseball is the World Series ratings. The World Series rate pretty well. The problem with baseball is getting people to tune in for all 162 games. We'll continue taking your calls on this at 312-332-3776. Also, our stat of the night.
The Baseball Show.
On Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app.
Tonight's Baseball Show is brought to you by Lassen's Tap in Homewood. Stop in and grab a couple of Goose Island White Sox Golden Ales tonight. Lassen's Tap in Homewood is a proud official White Sox bar and is an excellent place to watch a Sox game.
You're listening to Bleck and Abdallah. This is the Baseball Show.
Cubs, Sox, and so much more.
Presented by Goose Island Beer Company. This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
These great stats we haven't gotten to. We have one for the stat of the night coming up. Just a second. I have this column from Fangraphs about Mookie Betts.
Ooh.
How he has, through his first seven seasons in Major League Baseball, he's like 19th in WAR as far as some of the all-time greats when we're looking at Williams.
That's why I mentioned him as one of the faces of baseball.
Yeah, I'm mad at myself. Good. Like, we had this to get to, that Mookie Betts through his first seven seasons is building a case to Cooperstown. You can find it on Fangraphs.
Well, Chris,
I wanted to talk to you about it, and Chris, I forgot Betts, Chris, as far as one of the faces of baseball.
Chris.
I was mad about that.
Did you know
that,
like baseball, the Baseball Show is every day?
Well, yeah. So you want me to save this for tomorrow?
I'm not saying you have to, like, you don't have to, like, jam it in there today.
Well, Pujols was number two. Number three, Mike Trout.
What is he doing?
This point, it,
what, 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 I said you can wait till you can wait.
All right.
And you can save that. That's a great conversation.
I also have a piece here about Fernando Tatis Jr. and the fact that he is leading now. Coming into today after last night's games, he leads the majors in stolen bases, runs, in homers, and RBI. There has never been a player in Major League Baseball since 1920 to lead in the season all four of those categories.
Now, see, that would have been good in the face of baseball conversation.
Yeah, well, I thought we would get to it at a different point in the show.
But that would have been good to like back up your argument if you're arguing for Tatis being the face of baseball. Like, if you're gonna, if I was grading your research paper,
yeah,
and like you just left this stuff out as a teacher,
yeah,
I'd have been like, well, where's
per
all the
Elias? There are three players that finished the season ranked in the top three in all four and all four of those categories. The names are Hank Aaron in 1963, Willie Mays in 1955. And good old George Sisler in 1920.
What you did is you wrote a research paper, but it turned into an opinion piece. And like that's the meat I needed in this research paper sandwich.
Right.
But you just gave me a bunch of opinion. Well, I needed facts.
Well, and
I needed a bibliography. Where's the bibliography, Chris?
And then I also had a third one about Ian Happ. And his runs created plus.
We talked about him in the face of baseball conversation.
His slash line coming into today. Incredible. 313, 439, 627 through 22 games, and what he's been doing at the plate for the Cubs and batting leadoff. Maybe they found their leadoff.
Where was this two segments ago?
Well, I mean, it was actually all prep for a segment that we're going to do nightly called First to Third.
First to Third.
He is safe. Bryce Harper goes from first to third on a ground out.
Bleck and Abdallah
burning around second base.
Go first to third.
All the way from one corner to another.
Not stopping at second. He's going to try for third. And the throw is not in time. Able to go all the way from first to third on a wild pitch.
First to third
on the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000.
That's a good open. That's a good open right there.
Yeah, but I already gave you the content for it. So that's that. Yeah. So that's first
am I being
third.
Punked right now? Are we doing a show? Is this a meeting about a show?
No,
is this
I'm
a show
just
within
you,
a show?
I'm telling you the stuff that we
is
didn't
there
get
like
to.
A camera? Is there a confessional
no.
camera I can go into?
No.
What are we
no,
doing?
What do you mean? What are we doing? That's just the
you,
segment.
Why didn't you play the segment and then give those stats? Why are you doing this? Do we even have time for stat of the night right now?
Of course
we do.
Yes. Let's go to the stat of the night.
Is this the office?
Giambi's on base percentage for .476.
Stat of the night.
Damon's on base, .324. And Almeida's was .291.
On the Baseball Show.
Add that up and you get.
You want me to speak?
What point do you get?
.1092.
On ESPN 1000.
Tonight's stat of the night is 1.50. And that's Yu Darvish's walk rate to this point in the season. Yu Darvish was outstanding last night. Six innings pitch, gave up eight hits, one run, one earned, one walk, seven strikeouts. His ERA is 1.80. He is now 4-1 on the season. Last night, Yu Darvish pitched like the ace the Cubs were getting when they signed him in the first place a couple seasons ago. Yu Darvish, his 1.50 walk rate is our stat of the night.
He's been lights out for the last 19-20 games going back to the second half of last season. I thought that if you were going to give a Yu Darvish stat, I thought your stat of the night was going to be 249. And what's 249, you ask?
What is 249, I ask?
Well, Yu Darvish has decided that he's going to slow down his progress, or not his progress, but his game. He's going to take his time in between each pitch. And 249 is how many minutes it took to play a damn 9-inning baseball game yesterday. Oh. 4 hours and 9 minutes to play 9 innings of baseball. I get it. You pitch better when you pitch slower. I understand that. But as a viewer, as a consumer of baseball yesterday, while I've got Lillard against the Lakers and I've got Blackhawks in an elimination game and then I switch over to that, it was easily one of the most boring baseball games I've ever watched. Great pitching outing. Great outing from Yu Darvish. He's doing amazing things. Boring as hell.
Could not believe the game was still going.
Four
kept flipping
hours
back
and 9 minutes.
He's still pitching?
Through
still
the
going?
Second, I'm like the second intermission.
What
this
is
game
happening?
Is still going on.
I would imagine the doubleheader today is probably going to be less.
Well, no,
less
that
time.
First game of the doubleheader dragged. That game dragged. It took times. It was like 120 to like 415.
I mean, they're already in the sixth now.
Yeah, this game's going a little faster. Well, there's less runs.
All right. That's Adam Abdallah. I'm Chris Black. This is the Baseball Show. We're back in 2 minutes with Black and Abdallah right here on ESPN 1000.
From Wrigley on the north to guaranteed rate on the south.
This is the Baseball Show on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.